Good evening. Should we say that again? Good evening. That's better. I suddenly thought this, like, did I not say that aloud? Because nobody answered me. Good evening. How are we all? As good as that. Great. Lively crowd in tonight. Good to be here. Good to see your faces. As Karen has so rightly said, we're at the end of a sermon series, and we've been looking at our Christian identity. We've been looking over the past couple of months about who God says we are. Now, why did we need to do that? Because we forget. Because our hearts often leak and we are spiritual sieves. Or maybe that's just me. We forget what God says about us when we hear the avalanche of everything else, about what the world says about us, what we say about us, what our partners or our friends say about us, which may be good, before Paul complains later on. We forget. Oh no, I'm going to have to be really nice to the husband later on now. We forget the truth of what God has said about us, about who we are. And in order to live that out fully as confident Christians, we need to let that truth kind of steep like a good cup of tea down to the foundations of our being. So it's locked firmly in our minds and our souls and our spirits and our hearts. So over the past couple of months, we've looked at these things. I am who you say I am. We've looked at that we're children, beloved of God, that we are a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit and his presence. We've looked at that we are made right in God's eyes. We're made righteous. That we are a new creation. That we are welcomed into God's perfect presence, that we are purposefully chosen by God, that we are created to do good works. And you know what? We could have chosen like 100 other different things about what God says about us and our identity. We just chose those ones. And tonight we're ending our series after being reminded about what God says about us. When we've thought about the outworkings of that, and when we thought about what he's done on our behalf in Christ, we're ending our series by looking afresh at what he gives us. And so tonight we're thinking about we are blessed with good gifts from God. Sounds good, yeah? I love gifts. I love buying them for others, much to the annoyance of my husband. You're too generous, Louise. There is nothing better in my Louise-shaped head. I'm going to stop picking on him now. Nothing better than seeing joy in somebody else's face when you have picked something out that is completely them-shaped, and you've got really excited because you know they are going to love it. You just know they're gonna love it, and so, oh, it's just joyous. Love giving gifts. And I also love it when somebody else has done that for me, and normally it's something spotty. People will go, oh, I found something spotty. I've a spotty mug. Have a spotty this, that, or the other. I like spots. You may have not noticed that. I love it when people think about the gifts they give. And I think that's one of the reasons why giving gifts and receiving gifts is one of my love languages. Tell us what your love language is in the spiritual survey we have left earlier on. Plug, plug. But I think gifts are one subtly done there, one of God's love languages to us. God is, by nature, the giver of the best gifts, because his nature is generosity and goodness. In the Bible, we hear this from James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, from whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. God gives good gifts. And in Matthew's Gospel, it says, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? Not only does God give good gifts, he wants to give good gifts. He too has the spiritual love language of gift giving. And the King James Version of Scripture says this: blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. I love that. He chucks gifts our way. He loadeth them. If we have eyes to see them. Now, that's going to be one of my questions today. Do you have eyes to see the gifts that God gives you? We often sing the song 10,000 Reasons, and sometimes we may have trouble thinking of 10. So, in your little, wherever you're sitting, if you're sitting by yourself, maybe be brave and go sit next to somebody who you don't know, but if that makes you feel like you're breaking out in hives, don't do that, because I'd hate you to feel stressed. I want you in small groups to think about, just for a couple of minutes, what are the gifts that God has given you? What are your 10,000 reasons, like the song, for your heart to sing? If you were looking up really closely, all the letters are made up by different things: food, fellowship, faith, finance, joy, family. What would you say are the gifts that God has given you? Why don't you just turn to your neighbour, or those around your table, or anybody you actually really like the look of, and share some of the things that God has gifted you with. Go.
Thank you.
Rightio, I'd be very interested to find out what some of the things are that you consider to be gifts from God. Anybody want to tell me anything that they've said or thought of? Oh, now I'm gonna have right trouble stopping you talking now, aren't I? Anybody tell me one of your 10,000 reasons? Simon.
The biggest gift we've ever been given is the gift of forgiveness.
Forgiveness, that's a good one, absolutely. Okay. SWOT. Well, that was encouraging, wasn't it? Thank you. It was really good, yeah. Okay, anyone else? Anyone else? Oh, sorry, I can't see for looking, Karen.
Because nobody here knew me when I wasn't a Christian, it won't mean as much to you guys as it does to me. But through the forgiveness of Jesus and his acceptance, I have a love inside of me for other people that is just overwhelming. It blows my mind, and it was such a new thing for me, and it stayed new. So that's my biggest gift.
Thank you. Lovely, lovely. Anyone else? Peace. Good. Worship. You like your house? Thank the Lord. Someone said something not very spiritual. Thank you. I was wondering if all your answers would be spiritual ones. Because I think everything is a gift from God if we have eyes to see it. And we're going to think about some of those spiritual things that we thought of just then. I think everything is a gift from God. Every time we say grace before a meal, we only do that when we've got visitors. It's so true. We do. Every time we notice a beautiful West Kirby sunset, every time we're shown love by someone else, we recognize that they are gifts that have come ultimately from the hand of the living God. That God loves and cares for us, not just the air that we breathe, but all the countless extra stuff. So I wanted to start by thinking about some of the gifts that probably aren't mentioned in the Bible that God gives us, visible material gifts, good gifts, nature, housing. Thank you, Kath. It's almost as if you knew where I was going. Things that we take for granted that we don't necessarily give God the glory for. The things that we think we've earned and that ours by right. But things that don't show up without the goodness and the gifting of God. Ordinary household things. I think there's a spiritual discipline in recognizing that, you know, everyday blessings don't just come from Aldi, they come from the Almighty. And when we forget that, we walk past countless opportunities for worship without noticing. Charles Spurgeon said this: let us daily praise God for common mercies, common as we frequently call them, and yet so priceless that when we are deprived of them, we are ready to perish. What did you miss most when you were deprived of it in lockdown that felt like a gift when you could have it back again? Friendship, hugs. Lots of things. On the other way around, remember in the first lockdown, when all of a sudden we could hear birdsong all over West Kirby and wherever it is you live, because we couldn't hear the noise of the traffic anymore. It was a gift to us. Remember, that verse from James, if we believe that every good and perfect gift comes from God, the next step on is this from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. It says, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you can say thank you to God for that last parking space on Lingdale on a busy day when you're in a rush. You can say thank you to God for coffee. Thank you, Jesus. You can say thank you to God for fruit and nut. This is my list. It may not be yours. You can say thank you to God for books and houseplants, for football. I'm not saying thank you to God for that, but you can. For marine lakes, for sunsets, because everything is given by God. Amen? Thank you. We're not going to argue about what's good and bad in football. We'll move on. So that's visible material gifts. But sometimes God's gifts to us come in people-shaped packaging, in relational gifts. In all but four of Paul's New Testament letters, he makes the point to say thank you to the people that God has sent to partner with him. He thanks people for their inspirational demonstration of faith. He thanks them for their sacrificial expressions of love. He thanks them for their unity and their fellowship. They were God's gifts. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 and 3, he says this, "We always thank God for you and continually mention you in our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ." So Paul considers his co-workers and his relationships in Christ to be part of the gifts of God to him and the church. I do too. Sometimes the biggest blessings and gifts in my life are you lot. Sometimes they're not, but sometimes they are. They're family members, especially my lovely husband, Paul, trying to make up for earlier. They're friends, they're church members, they're those who have shared Christ with us before we knew him. They're ministry partners. They're all gifts from God. So we thank God for our visible material gifts and relation people gifts. But earlier on, when I was thinking about what would I write in my 10,000 reasons earlier on in the week, and I wrote some of my things down. I didn't write car parking spots. I didn't even write friends. I didn't write gin and tonic. Not that I'm not grateful for all of those. But my even longer list was about spiritual blessings that I see given to me by God. I became a Christian at 2:30 on the 14th of May, 1987. You can work out, if you know how old I am, how many years that is. I was a teenager. Yay for those who help people find faith as teenagers. Yay! And that's when my spiritual blessing list started. And yours started the day you said your yes to the life-saving, life-giving gift of Jesus on the cross. And more I see God at work, the longer that list gets. And my eyes are open to the inexhaustible gift-giving generosity of God. I am confident that I will not live long enough to run out of gifts to thank him for. I am an adopted person. That forms part of my identity. but my bigger identity that blew my mind the most was when I learned that we are adopted into God's family. That we get a place at his table, a place on his knee, a purpose, that we are family. Ephesians says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, according with his pleasure and will." I am thankful for the gift of adoption. I'm thankful for the gift of peace with God, for that we are reconciled to him. I am thankful for the gift of purpose. I thank God for the gift of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, who both intercede for us. I'm thankful for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That means we can serve him well. That's a whole nother sermon series which we've had about our spiritual gifts that God gives us. Different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, as it says in Romans 12, then prophesy in accordance to your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encouraging, give encouragement. If it's giving, give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I'm thankful for the spiritual gifts that God gives us. And what else? I sat and thought about what else of the spiritual giftings that God gives us am I thankful for? I am thankful for the gift of God's nearness. For the gift of God's nearness. Psalm 75 says this, "We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, for your name is near." Imagine after reaching to save us in Jesus on the cross, God leaves us to work it all out, the rest of it, by ourselves. He doesn't. He can't. Philippians 2:13, lots of scripture tonight. "It is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." It is the Holy Spirit within us, nearer than our nearest breath, that both equips and strengthens and encourages us to keep on going. He is near when we call. He is near when we need him. He is near when we stumble. He is near all the time. That is a gift to us. Amen? Amen. When Jesus died and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, it symbolized that God is near. Through what Jesus does on the cross, we can draw near to God. We have the gift of nearness to the Almighty. Get your little human head around that. We have the gift of crawling up into the lap of the Father, and he says, "Come." Wow. Wow, that is a gift. I'm thankful for the gift of God's mercy. The psalmist says, "He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." God doesn't leave us to our own messes. He knows who we're like. He knows that we're really rat bags. I'm speaking for myself again. But I'm glad that we can depend on him because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's a comfort to know that he knows our frame and that he knows that we're dust, because that means we don't have to pretend. We don't have to put on our Sunday best when we come to God. We don't have to, you know, put mascara on and learn how to contour our face. Because he just says, come. Come as you are. Fully understanding, even better than we do, that our best is nowhere near ever good enough. God, being rich in mercy, reaches down to us and rescues us through Jesus on the cross. Wow. So I am thankful most of all for the gift of salvation. God shows us that whilst we are still sinners, Christ dies for us. So we are thankful. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That is, as 2 Corinthians says, an inexpressible gift. Are you thankful for that gift? Because I am. So when we consider the love of Christ and his service and his sacrifice and his gifts of redemption, that God has saved us from sin, from Satan, and from ourselves sometimes. He saved us from darkness. He saved us from death and destruction. These are the gifts of God to us. That all calls for a response. So I am also thankful that he asks us to join in with him. I'm thankful for God's gifts of calling and service. The Apostle Paul says this: I thank him who's given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. The utter privilege that we have to be the church. We don't always get it right. Often we don't. The church has not always got it right through history. But God asks us to partner with him in building and being the church, in sharing and spreading his kingdom, in being good news to the world. That's a gift and a half. And I could go on and on. It would be the longest sermon you've ever heard. Thank the Lord, you would say. No, you wouldn't. We could go on. We could say thank you to God for the victory over sin and the victory over death and the grave. A gift from God. Yay! We could say thank you to God for the gift that we don't yet know of, the ultimate triumph of the gospel at the end of time, that Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. We could say thank you for all the promises of God, which are ours, because we are in Christ and we are his children. We could say thank you for the gift of God that we are part of the branch that's grafted onto the vine that is Jesus. We could say thank you for the wisdom that he gives us to get through every day, and sometimes he gives us more than others. That's a gift from God. And I've just skimmed the surface. Because his gifts to us are as boundless and endless as he is. And I expect to spend eternity unwrapping those gifts and discovering more. And I hope that I'll see you there too. We heard this earlier on. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in every heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We've been thinking about our identity in Christ, all those things and more that God says about us. Because he knows us and he names us and he claims us as his. And wants us to grow in that identity to serve him and his world. And so he gives us every spiritual gift and every human gift too. Because he loves us and his nature is good gifts. So we say, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we say to God, help us step into that. Help us grow into what you say of us. And help us see your hand behind it all. And as I was thinking about how we ended our time, if we had a response to all of this, I thought our only response is worship. What can you say to the God who has given you everything? Well, we lift our hands and we say thank you. And we praise his name. So why don't we do that together? Let's praise the one who is near in every situation, who calls us to be near. We're going to sing, I think, another In the Fire, a song that reminds us that even in the thick of things, there is God beside us, never leaving nor forsaking us. If you have forgotten that, because life has thrown a curveball, maybe tonight's a night to do what we did earlier on, to sing about resurrender. God gives us every good gift. Every good gift in every spiritual realm and every human realm. Let us praise and thank him for that.